It's the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Cassaro, and co-host, Dennis Birkmeyer. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit us online, painlesslivingradio.com.
And good morning.
Good morning, and welcome to the Painless Living Show. We're going to be here for the next hour to help you with anything that might be causing you chronic pain. I'm Dr. Michael Cassaro, and with me is host
John Ashton.
John Ashton, and we are taking your calls about anything that causes chronic pain. Now, today's topic is fibromyalgia, but all pain calls are welcome. This is your opportunity to call and get professional medical advice without on a Saturday morning, without a copayment, without having to sit in the waiting room, without having to drive anywhere.
And you don't have to read a two-year-old magazine. It's great. It's the way it's all done. So,
well, we could, some of the jokes are 2 years old.
Those are recycled over and over again. Hate to do the research on it when those were actually created. Now, doctor, I got to tell you, first off, you know, I've been with you here for a few weeks now, and I detect a pattern forming, because even though the topic is fibromyalgia, in the treatment column over here, the top three are diet, sleep, and exercise. That seems to be the cure for what ails you, no matter what it is. It seems to be like, I mean, it makes so much sense, but so many of us abuse one or more of those elements.
At least two out of three.
Yeah,
for most people.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, so you've picked up on that pattern, haven't you?
Hey, I'm not as dumb as I look.
A face for radio, they say?
You got it, yeah.
So I don't know that it's really quite right to say that that's the cure for everything, but pretty much no matter what kind of health problem you have, even if it has nothing to do with pain, if you want to help that the most you can without having to take medicine, eat right, sleep right, and exercise, and you'll get usually a pretty good benefit.
Right.
And that's for anything that's really non-traumatic. When we're talking about trauma, you know, if you're in a car wreck.
You did nothing to bring that on.
You probably need to have the holes patched first.
Right. Right. Now, one of the things that you can do is, as the doctor mentioned, is give us a call toll-free at 888-440-4442, whether you want to talk about fibromyalgia or any pain situation you may be in. Or if you're not an immediate talk-on-the-phone kind of person live on the radio, you may want to just check out the website, painlesslivingshow.com, where you can always send us an email with a specific problem, and Dr. Cassaro will address it on a future show, as we are about to do right now. Are you ready
okay,
for this?
Sure.
You got an email that said, I am a 12-year survivor of breast cancer that spread to my spine and pelvis. I'm very glad to be alive, but I'm surviving at a high daily cost. I'm tired all the time. My memory is poor. I hurt all over. I can't sleep. I have mastectomy pain on my chest, headaches every day. I only poop about once a week and feel nauseated and crampy all the time. 9 years ago, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. I've tried lots of different drugs, and they just make my memory and concentration worse and make me more constipated. I can't find a doctor who seems interested in helping me. Now, this all started slowly after my surgeries, two courses of radiation and chemo. But the fibromyalgia seems to keep everyone from treating whatever is causing me to suffer. What kind of doctor specializes in treating fibromyalgia, and where can I find a good fibromyalgia doctor? Should we send her your address?
I already did.
Okay.
I already sent that to her. The address, the telephone number, email.
I got you.
Fax number. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I guess to first validate that, I'm sure she really is having a lot of trouble finding a doctor that can address her specific problems. And what I'll do is talk a little bit about why that is and why this is not uncommon at all for people with fibromyalgia. The way that medicine is practiced in this country, everything is a specialty. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got a doctor for your heart, you got a doctor for your lung, you got a doctor for your digestive tract, you've got a doctor for your reproductive organs, you've got a doctor for your joints, you got a doctor for everything you could imagine. Mm-hmm. Okay. But where people fall through the cracks and where things tend to not get treated well is when you have a problem in one doctor's department that causes symptoms in another doctor's department. Both doctors look at you and say, I don't know what to do with this. Mm-hmm. It's not my problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's right squarely where people with fibromyalgia find themselves. They fall through the cracks.
Right.
Because, yeah, they might have some minor trauma. Okay, let's say they had a whiplash. You look at the, you know, you go to an orthopedic doctor or a spine doctor. They look at that and they say, well, there's nothing really serious there that needs treatment on the spine. Mm-hmm. Okay. But that could be causing problems with referred pain somewhere else. Okay. Well, that's not my problem. Let's say it's causing pelvic pain. They say, well, I'm not the pelvic pain doctor. I'm the spine pain doctor and your neck's not hurting you. Mm-hmm. So go to your gynecologist. And the gynecologist might do even a laparoscopic surgery, but certainly some other workup and say, I can't find any problem for your pain, so, you know, nothing I can do for you.
Right.
And there you sit with fibromyalgia with, it seems like nobody can help.
Yeah. Plus added frustrations as each and every doctor's visit adds up and nothing's being helped.
Well, that's right. Plus, part of that is sometimes just in an effort to try to find something to make it a little bit better, they'll prescribe a medicine.
Yeah.
Okay. And it might make things a little bit better, but it's probably going to have some side effects. So then you go to the next doctor and he does the same thing. And the next doctor, and you've been to four or five doctors and now you've got four or five medicines. Each one may be helping one part of the fibromyalgia a little bit, but the side effects of those medicines start to get together and overall make the fibromyalgia worse. Mm. So you tend to be deteriorating even while you're getting treatment.
Right. And another thing we mentioned earlier, too, the advertising for some of the fibromyalgia medicines that we're exposed to on a daily basis, one of the things they say is fibromyalgia is thought to be caused by. And it's got to be difficult to be able to attack it accurately if what's making it happen is something that is not really a definitive.
Well, you've got a point there, and it's even that's a little misleading when they say it's thought to be caused by.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that cause fibromyalgia that we know cause fibromyalgia.
Right.
The trouble is fibromyalgia is not one thing.
Right.
Fibromyalgia could be part of the long-term consequences of trauma, like a whiplash injury. It could be part of the long-term consequences of an infection. Maybe you had meningitis or a serious infection, mononucleosis, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fibromyalgia could also be the long-term consequence of sedentary, you know, inactive lifestyle combined with poor nutrition.
Mm.
Fibromyalgia could be the long-term consequence of some sort of organ dysfunction. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go on, but something like thyroid problems could start, the very common thing that could start the cascade that ends up 15, 20 years down the line, resulting in symptoms that get diagnosed as fibromyalgia. So there's a lot of things that cause it.
Right.
It's not just one thing.
And there's a lot of things that, or a lot of different symptoms during the research here that could be something else. You know, muscle twitching, joint pain, headaches, migraines, depression, panic attacks, back pain, neck pain, restless leg syndrome, all of which are symptoms or can be symptoms associated with fibromyalgia, but they also are symptoms that can be associated with something totally different. So as a physician, where does that come into play when you decide which way or try to figure out what's causing this, be it the fibromyalgia or something else?
Well, what you bring up, I'm not dodging your question. I'm just going to answer it indirectly.
But oh, well, thanks.
What you bring up is part of the other nightmare that mm-hmm. people with fibromyalgia face when they right. go to the doctor, is that they might start out with just, let's say their only symptom, the only thing they're going to the doctor about is they have pain in their knee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they start out with just pain in the knee. And then as time goes on later, they also have pain in the hip, and then they might start be developing some headaches. And maybe some of these are happening at the same time, but they're going to different doctors for the different complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And then down the line, they might add another symptom, and they start getting fatigued. And then somebody, you know, 5-10 years down the line, some doctor or a nurse practitioner or something steps back and says, you know what? I think there's a chance that all these things might be related to each other and that you might have fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So getting that diagnosis might be 10 years into the treatment regimen. Okay. And that's the reason why all the treatments kind of failed to get much result.
Right.
And why the condition has continued to progress even with treatment is that they're treating the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So you get a nightmare on both ends a lot of times with fibromyalgia.
Exactly. Whether you're suffering any sort of pain associated with fibromyalgia, have been diagnosed with it, want to ask some questions of the doctor, or talk to the doctor about any specific or non-specific type of pain that's not related to fibromyalgia, we have a toll-free line for you to call right now. And we have some lines open at 888-440-4442.
So. That's right. We're going to be talking about fibromyalgia here for the hour. But who steers the conversation to the specifics is our callers.
Exactly.
So please call in with your specific questions, and we'll get you some specific answers. Hopefully get you some treatment advice that you can start using as early as today to start finding some relief at home.
Mm-hmm. Let's return to the email, because there's a question that popped up in my mind as I was listening to this email, where she said, the fibromyalgia seems to keep everyone from treating whatever is causing me to suffer. Is it they say, well, wait a minute, we've got to just worry about you keeping cancer-free. As long as you're cancer-free, then, you know, just live with the rest of it? Is that the type of situation she's in, or...?
I don't know that anybody has said that to her in those words, but I imagine that's exactly
the feeling she's getting.
That's exactly the feeling that yeah. she's getting. You know, a big part of somebody that's a cancer survivor is that the treatments that people go through to try to conquer cancer
mm-hmm.
Have long-term consequences that unfortunately most of the people who get those treatments never have to deal with.
Right.
Because they end up, you know, not successfully defeating the cancer. But in those people that do survive the cancer, and 12 years is a long time for somebody that had the cancer spread to her spine and pelvis, 12 years is almost unheard of. That's mm-hmm. long term. Now, she didn't say in here that she was cured. I don't know that it's in remission. She may still have it. Doesn't really matter. But one of the things that bugs me about this email question is that we've talked about it on some other shows before. Just because somebody has one diagnosis that's kind of a bad diagnosis, mm-hmm. like cancer, doesn't mean that everything that comes along from then on is related to their cancer.
Right.
They can still get the same things that anybody else can get that don't have anything to do with that underlying big disease or might only be indirectly related to it. So what we're going to do is we're getting ready to head to a break soon. And when we come back from the break, what we'll do is start answering that sure. part of the question.
888-440-4442. If you have any other questions, get on the phone and give us a holler.
Talk To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessslivingradio.com.
And give us a call at 888-440-4442 during the course of the show. Talk directly to Dr. Cassara. I believe we have a caller we're going to go to right now.
Yes, we have a caller, Susan, calling from Washington, North Carolina. Susan, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning?
Hey.
Hello there.
I have probably the last 2.5 years dealt with major back issues. And last year in the summer, I was supposed to have lower lumbar fusion. That was what my back specialist felt was the problem. And insurance kept denying it. And they kept laughing at me because everybody I went to, from pain management to everybody, I kept telling them if I could break off my hips and set them aside, I'd feel better. And they would laugh, ha-ha, but they wouldn't listen. And when it got denied completely for the lumbar fusion, he actually left. I went to a different doctor who said, well, wait a minute, maybe there is something else wrong here. Turns out, with spine shots and things like that, we figured out, we think it's the SI joint. And so I finally got a decision from insurance yesterday to have this SI joint fusion done. Then I hear your show this morning, and you start talking about things like meningitis. I had bacterial meningitis in 98, several car accidents over the years, one that was pretty severe in 87. And I know I've got degenerative issues from that. Is SI joint fusion the likely culprit for all of the grinding and popping all the way up and down my back as well as the SI, or am I still going to have problems afterwards?
Okay. Without being able to examine you, all I can go by is what you said on the phone. But what I can tell you right now is that even if they fuse your SI joints and get a perfect outcome, everything goes well by the textbook. There's no complications of any kind. It's not going to have any effect on what's going on up and down the rest of your spine.
That's what worries me. Could that be a fibromyalgia type of issue?
Well, it could be, but it might be something even more basic than that. One of the things you said is that you were in a very serious car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody...
It gave me sacral rotation issues for a couple of years we dealt with until they released me. And they told me at the time, I was just getting out of college, they told me, oh, we'll give you a 7% disability rating, go on your merry way. And I had no idea what any of that meant, so I just went on and lived, you know, got a job and had a family and all that good stuff.
And you got older and things got worse.
Yeah.
Okay. What I wonder is if anybody anytime recently has taken a look in your neck, because
when I first went to the first neurosurgeon that thought that lumbar was the issue, his first comment before he even looked at my back was, oh, let's look at your neck. I think, you know, we'll have to address that later, but your lower back is the first priority to deal with. And I did have issues with cervical issues at that time of the accident because it was a voice major, and I couldn't sing for a while, and that was a real issue. I had apparently something that was pressing on nerves in that area, and it was giving me vocal issues that scared me. I thought I couldn't finish my degree.
Yeah, that can happen, especially at the disc that's in the middle of your neck, the C5-6 mm-hmm. disc. If that gets a little bulge that pushes forward instead of backward, that can push right on the back of your voice box. It can also interfere with the nerves that go to your vocal cords and make your voice crack or pop, make you hoarse sometimes. And, of course, when they look in your throat, there's nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. And the neurologist I saw back then to deal with the headaches, because that was the first thing that I realized the problem after that wreck, and they told me, oh, if you can bend over and touch your toes, you're fine, don't worry about it, you're just a college student, you know, going back to school, it's stress. And I knew there was more, and it took 6 months to get finally a chiropractor to look and go, oh, I think your neck's out of alignment, and took x-rays and found that problem.
Well, what I'd wonder is if the same injury from way back then in your neck over the years has formed some bone spurs that's irritating the nerve fibers that go down to your hips. And that's why your hips were hurting so much. Because when you irritate a nerve, you don't always feel it where the nerve is irritated. You feel it where the nerve goes. And all those nerve fibers going from your brain to the rest of your body travel through your neck on their way to get there.
Okay.
So that could be what started the hip pain. And now that could be what's got you with a lot of pain in the sacroiliac joints. And the thing is, that could have even been why you had the rotation, the sacroiliac rotation, after the accident, was if the muscles on one side of your spine are not getting the same nerve signals that the muscle on the other side of your spine gets, that'll leave you lopsided, and that'll rotate things.
And that was.
So that's a big possibility. And you know what? If that's what it is, if the primary problem for your back pain is in your neck, no matter what procedure you have done on your back, it's probably not going to help much.
Well, I think the biggest pain area for me is that SI to the right and to the right hip. And they're talking about how the SI fusion will lock the sacrum and the ilium together because there's too much play, apparently, in there.
Well,
locked up on me and all that. So,
you know, you could have a secondary problem there. After all these years, if you had a problem that developed either because of the injury directly or because of unbalanced muscle actions over the past decades, it doesn't really matter what the primary cause was. But over time, if you started out with a little bit of play there and over the years it has gotten greater and greater, and now you've got parts of the joint that don't usually have to handle movement getting a lot of movement, then that sacroiliac joint could be a significant cause of your current problems. But once again, even if you fuse that joint, that's not going to solve the rest of the picture. Now, that's your worst problem right now. So if you get that taken care of, you'll have a new worst problem. Okay, it's
it took me years to get to this point. It'll take me years to fix it, I think.
Well, you know, it's hard for me to say without looking, especially the best images to study are motion images. If you can get motion x-rays taken of your sacrum and pelvis so that you're rocking back and forth in front of a video camera when they're taking the x-rays instead of a still camera, then you can tell with certainty whether or not that SI joint is behaving abnormally. And if it is, then that probably is going to need some treatment, but that's not going to fix the other problems. And you still have to find what the source of those problems are. And if it's not that I'm not a betting man, so I couldn't say if I was a betting man, let's just say I'll sit here and bet that you have a neck problem that's contributing a lot, if not almost all, of your symptoms.
Wow. Okay.
I hope that helps you.
On another track, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say except good luck. You can call back and let us know how it worked, or if it didn't work, if there's nothing going on in your neck, call back and we'll try to give you some other advice.
Okay. Well, with the SI, I know that for about 6 months we were doing steroid shots straight into that SI joint, and afterward each time it was like walking on air, and then I could feel how everything else hurt at that point.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't the primary hurt, but when
okay, well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign that the SI joint is part of the problem, and that you will get probably that relief that you got from the steroid injections would be the maximum relief you could hope for from the surgery. The one problem is if you were getting repeated steroid injections over 6 months, that may have also, even though it made you feel better, that may have contributed to the deterioration of the SI joint.
Right.
Because it is a weight-bearing joint, and we don't like to give steroids into weight-bearing joints too often because it tends to accelerate the deterioration.
Well, we only had a chance to get three, and the third one didn't work at all. There was no pain relief from that one. So that's when we figured fusion would be the next best thing.
All right. Well, that's not too many. That's not too many injections to worry about then.
Good. All right. Well, thank you. That gives me some more stuff to research and look at, though, because I kind of wondered if the fibromyalgia was something I needed to be looking at more, but I think it's just all in my bones.
Post-traumatic. Mm-hmm. All right, Susan.
Very, very post. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
Susan, thanks for the call.
Good luck to you.
888-440-4442 is our phone number here, and we have more calls on the line. Are we going to go in before the break and see what's happening?
Yes, we'll get started with Joyce calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Joyce, you're up on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you today?
Oh, well, I wasn't thinking about being on the radio. Actually, I had just asked if Dr. Casero had an associate, someone that he knew that might be in my area, because I don't drive very far, and I understand I had asked for his address, and of course it's in Jeff. So I live in the southwest part of town, and I was wondering if he could make any recommendation for a doctor similar to his own practice.
Well, actually, if you really want to put me on the spot, I'll say there's nobody quite like me.
I'm sure that's
How about
true.
That?
I can tell. I can tell by listening to you on the radio.
And I think both my friends and my enemies will agree with that.
But I think you're special, too. That's why I'm calling.
Okay, we're getting ready to go to a break right now. If you have a particular question, you can hold on through the break, and we'll handle it when we come back. Otherwise, thank you for calling.
Okay.
All right, hold on, please, if you're going to.
888-440-4442. That's the number.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now. 1-888-440-4442.
And we have some folks who have done just that, and we are about to go back to the phones now with Dr. Casero.
Yes, it looks like we have John on the air from Farmerville, Louisiana. John, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm having so much pain in my gut that I'm passing out a lot.
Okay, how long has that been going on?
5 years. I've been to more than 50 doctors. I've had tremendous amount of tests and stuff done. And I'm in pretty bad shape.
Okay, when does this tend to come on? Any particular timing?
No, I never know. I can be sitting here talking to you and pass out.
Okay, do you just pass out suddenly, or do you have a warning?
I have no warning.
Except for the pain in your abdomen?
Right.
Okay, what about any other symptoms? Do you get dizzy or have trouble with balance?
Maybe a little balance, but mostly it's just my gut.
Okay. Your bowels work okay?
Yep.
You have a good appetite? Any digestion problems?
I don't eat a whole lot.
Okay, this is, kind of a stumper. If it stumped 50 doctors over 5 years, I'm not going to feel too bad that I can't figure it out over the phone, but I can give you some ideas on where to look for problems that might not have been looked for, because here's the way that I think about things. If you've got something in your abdomen that's causing severe pain, so severe that you pass out, certainly 50 people doing examinations and looking in your abdomen for it, somebody would have found something or come up with some theory on what could be causing it. So my first inclination, if you were to see me in my office and I was that 51st doctor, I would take the approach, I'm not going to look the same place where the last 50 doctors have looked. I'm going to start looking other places. I'm going to turn over some stones that haven't been looked under before.
Where are you located?
Well, I'm located in southern Indiana, but what I'm talking about is looking maybe at your spine, if there's a source of referred pain in your spine. Now, where you can pass out could be from something in your upper neck, or it could even be from an old head injury. It could be that that you've had a certain type of stroke. I don't know. Certainly,
well,
they
tell me I have had a stroke, but that was just a couple of months ago. I did have brain surgery.
Okay, so you had brain surgery. Was that associated with the stroke, or was that some other time in
no,
the remote past?
No, this brain surgery was 25 years ago. That was acromegaly.
Okay. All right, so you've also had a problem with excess growth hormone production. That's what caused the acromegaly. All right, so this is shedding a little bit of light on things. Have they been looking again at your hormone balance now?
Yes.
And are there any elevated pituitary hormones?
No.
Okay, that's good. But still, the brain surgery, my bet would be that whatever's causing you to pass out is when you get some intense signal that gets to that certain portion in your brain where there's damage. That's what causes you to lose consciousness, to pass out. So the problem is that you either have to find a way to stabilize that area of the brain. There are some medications that can be tried for that, but I'm sure for 50 doctors, you've tried things like gabapentin.
I've been on so many medicines they give them to me by the grocery bag loads.
Well, that could be part of the problem, too, is, you know, every medicine has its side effects. And when you start adding...
But I didn't take them long. They would give them to me, and a week later they said, oh, you can't take that no more. That's hurting something else.
Okay. All right. So then you're probably not running into problems with the medicines interacting with each other. But still, I think that the primary problem probably has something to do with the original brain surgery and the original problem with acromegaly. The problem with acromegaly is that even after the source of the elevated growth hormone is eliminated, you can still get progression of bone growth and arthritis. And that can pinch nerves. That can make things not work properly. Even in your spine, that can create something called spinal stenosis, interfere with spinal fluid flow, things like that. So there's a lot that could still be coming from that. And that's probably where the solution lies, if there is one for you.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Okay. Sorry I couldn't give you any better than that, John, but thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. And if there's something else we can help you with, give us a try.
All right. 888-440-4442 is the phone number here. When the diagnosis is fibromyalgia and there are so many different symptoms, are the treatments different depending on how the fibromyalgia manifests itself in a person, or is it the same type of attack no matter what symptoms are being shown?
I'm going to start sounding like a politician here, and I'm going to say yes to both. Although we don't talk about politics on this show.
Should I start asking better questions, or are there just not answerable questions here today?
Well, there are some parts of the treatment that are going to be common for the fibromyalgia, no matter what the source of the fibromyalgia is, and really no matter what the primary symptoms are. But most of the time, the bulk of the treatment is directed at what seems to be worst with that individual person.
Okay.
Certainly, you know, if somebody comes in with fibromyalgia and their primary complaint is fatigue, my approach to them with both diagnosis and treatment is going to be different than if I got somebody that comes in here with fibromyalgia where their primary complaint is headaches or pain of some sort.
Right.
So there is a tailored component, and that's probably the largest part, but certain things, everybody's going to get the same recommendation on some of the basic treatments.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's not really that political. I mean, that was very medically sound advice.
I didn't even dodge the question.
I know you didn't. I'm going to have to start maybe asking shorter questions so that the answers will be yes or no, not yes and no. You know.
Well, that was yes and yes.
Yes and yes. That's true, which is good. I haven't had one of those in a long time. 888-440-4442, the phone number here. We still have some open lines that you can get through. We've got some time yet together this morning. And you can always check us, too, out online at painlesslivingshow.com. And, again, if you're shy or if you really don't want to talk directly to the doctor on the air, you can always send an email. And it will be read as it comes in and dealt with on the air without you having to participate, basically.
So, that's right.
Yeah.
Without the waiting room either.
That's right. Exactly. Waiting room and the insurance company and all that. And I did see kind of the frustration in your eye with our caller, Sue, earlier in the program. It was kind of like, I want you to come see me so I can fix this. You know, the light was going off as
that's why I'm on the radio.
Exactly. Yeah. It would have been very convenient. I'm sure it would have been a
I can't
a great
play
case
poker very well.
No. No, but you could see the work behind the eyes is you're going, this would be, and I guess maybe it's the I don't know, that not the ego, that's not it, but the feeling that you get as a medical professional being able to actually alleviate somebody's pain has got to be phenomenal.
It is very gratifying. It is. And I've been doing this for about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hate to make it sound routine, but there's a lot of things by specializing in this area over 30 years. I tend to get to know a lot about some things that are very difficult for doctors in a general practice where they might go their whole career and see maybe one or two people with a specific ailment.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way referral patterns work and the fact that I specialize in it, I might see those patients at the rate of one or two per week.
Right.
So it gets to be a little bit easier to know more about what to do.
Yeah,
for people that have those problems.
Much more common in this office than it would be in someone else's office. But also, as you mentioned earlier, we're in the age of specialization in the medical field. So a lot of times if you go to a specialist for a pain that you think may be caused, you know, you may go to a bone guy, not a pain person. Again, they always attack what's wrong with their patient based on what their area of expertise is.
Well, what we really need is a generalist that specializes in everything.
We do. Didn't we used to have those? And they made house calls
these days.
Now you can make a house call right directly to the doctor from your house at 888-440-4442 if you're of a mind.
And we do have a caller on the line, but I'm going to... Well, I'll go ahead and take the call, even though we're going to a break right away.
Just call and say hello.
This is Cynthia calling from Greensville, North Carolina. Cynthia, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. We're getting ready to head to a break, so I'm going to ask you to hold on as we go to the break, and we'll take your question when we come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hold on, please.
Okay, and as she is holding on, you too can get in line at 888-440-4442, and we will be back after the break.
It's like an office visit without the copay, the Painless Living Show.
And we can prove that right now as we jump right back onto the phone.
Yes, we're going back now to Cynthia in Greenville, North Carolina. Cynthia, you're on the air. Are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now what can I do to help you this morning?
Well, I developed fibromyalgia back in 2000. But my current problem is I have had a severe pressure headache for 2 weeks now.
Okay, where do you get the pressure?
It's mostly on the right side of my head. If I bend over, it feels like the top of my head's going to blow off. If I sit down, it's like everything, my whole spine comes up and like it's going up into my skull and pressing everything to the top of my head.
Okay. Is that the same when you're standing or just when you sit?
Same when I'm standing.
Okay.
When I stand up, it does the same thing. It's like it's just a pressure, like everything is just pushing.
Any certain things you've found that can help to relieve that in any way?
Let's see. Right now I am on Ketorolac, diazepam, and nothing works.
Okay. What about things that aggravate the pain besides the bending over and the sitting or standing that you said? Anything else that tends to aggravate it?
Not that I've noticed.
Okay. One of the things about people with chronic headaches that last, you said this has been same headache going on for 2 weeks.
Yes.
You have it when you go to bed at night, you have it when you wake up in the morning, and all the time in between.
Yes.
Okay. There's only a few things that cause headaches like that. And one of the primary ones is instability in your neck. Now, this occurs when you have usually an old injury that gets re-injured, and that re-injury can be relatively minor. It could be even as minor as a sneezing or coughing fit or stepping wrong off of a curb. But what happens then is the bones in your neck, instead of moving normally as you move your head and neck around, they tend to slide on each other with an abnormal movement. And when they do, that causes a reaction from the joints, the stabilizing joints on your neck, that can cause that severe headache pain. And one of the reasons I think that might be what you have is you said that when you bent forward, that tended to really aggravate it, made it feel like everything was getting a lot worse.
Yes, I've had 2 rear-end collisions and 2 surgeries on my neck.
Okay, my guess, not knowing any more than that, is that the unstable level is probably right above the level where you had your surgery, the highest level where you had your surgery.
See, that's what I had wondered, because I'd been having problems where it was doing a lot of popping and cracking, and it felt like at times like it was rubbing.
Okay, the popping and cracking, that could be a lot of things, and not all of those would necessarily be bad things or things associated with instability. But instability is something that could cause more popping and cracking in your neck. The best bet probably is to get x-rays with flexion and extension views on your neck. That's where they have you bend your neck forward and backward in front of the x-ray camera.
Mm-hmm.
And your doctor, your family doctor can order that. You don't necessarily have to go back to the spine doctor, but either one could do it. If that's what you have, especially if you've had 2 surgeries before, it's probably going to be advisable to try something else first before you do another surgery, because the problem with doing surgery on the neck where you do one level and then you go back and do another level is now it looks like you might be looking at a third, and then this could just march all the way up.
Yeah.
So what can be attempted that can fix a minor instability, it can't fix a major instability, but minor instability, something called prolotherapy. That's P-R-O-L-O therapy. And you can do some research on Google and find out about prolotherapy, probably find doctors. There's probably doctors in Greenville that do prolotherapy. The problem with prolotherapy is that your insurance may not cover it. They may or may not. It depends on, you know, how it's done, the doctor that does it, whether he's able to bill and code for something that your insurance company approves.
Mm-hmm.
But That's going to be the best bet for the minor instability. Now, there's other things that can cause a serious headache like that. But I think the instability is probably the one to look at first. Because another thing that can cause serious headache like that that doesn't go away is something really bad happening inside your head, like an aneurysm or a tumor, something like that. And, of course, the thing to get to find that would be an MRI or a CT scan. So that might be another reason to see the doctor, and he would order imaging studies for that. You could get them all done at the same time, hopefully. And then the third thing that causes headaches like that that don't go away are what we call toxic headaches. Now, that could be to anything. It could be to air fresheners, chemicals in the new carpet. There's no telling. You know, it could be to bug sprays. A lot of things can cause that. The typical toxic headache would be a hangover. But, you know, it could come from anything. Now, the hard part about that is if you've never had a headache to last 2 weeks before, and this is the first time you've had one to last 2 weeks, you may never discover what that is that caused it, because it might not be something you were exposed to for the first time right when the headache started.
Yeah. Well, I've had migraine headaches before, and this is nothing like a migraine.
Yeah, so this is a new headache. I'd bet that you developed some instability, and my guess is probably about between 1 and 2 weeks before the headache started. So we're talking between 3 and 4 weeks ago, something, and it could have been minor, is what started that instability. And then it took probably around 7 to 10 days or so for that instability to get to the point where it caused a headache. And now you've got that headache lasting for 2 weeks. Now, the good news is, even if the instability takes a while with prolotherapy to get rid of, you can usually get rid of the headache a lot faster than that with something called radiofrequency neurolysis. Now, that would be either a neurosurgeon or a pain management doctor that would do that. And what he would do is burn the little nerves that go to that unstable joint, and then you'll stop having the headaches.
Okay.
Even though the joint might still be unstable.
Okay. I've had rhizotomies and nerve blocks and facet joint blocks. And
so you've had the rhizotomies before. That's another name for it, is rhizotomy.
Yeah.
Is that in your neck?
Yes.
Okay. So this might just be another level, like the level above where you had it before.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Well,
good luck
I'll
to you, Cynthia.
I'm ready to try anything at this rate.
Well, thank you for listening, Cynthia. Thank you for calling, and good luck to you.
Okay. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia. 888-440-4442. That is the phone number here. We may not have enough time today.
In the final segment of the show, and if we get another caller right now, we've got time for one more quick call.
All right.
Otherwise, we'll continue talking about fibromyalgia.
We certainly will. Let's just say stay at home, temporary. There are some ways to treat the fibromyalgia, or at least to alleviate some of the symptoms of the fibromyalgia at home. Are there not? I mean, some things you can do to make yourself feel better until you can get to a physician?
The number one thing is what you brought up at the beginning, that little pattern that you noticed about sleep, diet, and exercise. Yeah, not necessarily that I'm going to make a specific recommendation, but you've got to take care of yourself first.
Right.
Because you won't rank that high on anybody else's list.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one of the common things that I see, people with fibromyalgia, usually fatigue is a big part of fibromyalgia. And what people realize is that they can get a little bit of an energy boost from sugar, and they can feel good for a little while.
Right.
So a lot of people with fibromyalgia tend to develop quite a sweet tooth. Mm-hmm. And I hear them, they tell me that that's the only thing that gets them through the day. The problem is that that's part of what makes them so fatigued the next day. So if there's one piece of advice that I can give for people with fibromyalgia to start at home today, is to try really cutting back on those sugars, preferably get rid of all the added sugars completely.
Okay.
So for people that follow me on Twitter, it's at Painless Living. If people that follow on Twitter, they've probably seen the tweet that says ice cream equal fibro fuel.
Uh-huh.
It's a real common one. So if you get, you know, you cut that kind of stuff out,
right.
That'd be something to start with right away. But then there's so much else, and it is tailored to the individual the best we can.
Okay. Fantastic. So how do folks follow you on Twitter?
At Painless Living.
That's simple enough.
I hope so.
That is simple enough.
Yeah, we put out tweets there every day and do the best we can to give little pearls of information in 140 characters that people can help live a better life, a pain-free life with.
Yeah, well, that's my compliments to getting the information out in 140 characters or less. So,
yeah. Oh, that music in the background. I think we're coming up to the end of the show.
That's it. PainlessLivingShow.com. Check us out online.
I'm Dr. Michael Cassaro.
And I'm John Ashton.
We'll be here next week. Please listen and call in with your pain question.